an annual check on the pulse of the air show industry. A few minutes with John Cudahy of ICAS. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us. As we mentioned in last Friday's special feature, this time of year brings air show performers and show organizers to meet with each other in Las Vegas, look at what's new for the coming year, and discuss the state of the industry. ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell got the chance recently to look back at 2008 and ahead to 2009 and beyond with John Cudahy, President of the International Council of Air Shows.
Well, with December right around the corner, to us, that means it's just about time for the ICAS convention. We're happy to be speaking with ICAS leader John Cudahy at this point to talk about all things air shows 2008 and air shows 2009. John, welcome to Aero News.
Thanks. Great to be with you again.
Well, let's talk about the year that was. When we talked last year, we'd come off a year that had its issues. It appears that 2008 had its own separate set of issues. If you could sum up how 2008 went airshow wise.
Well, it was as you suggest, it was a different set of issues. We had a much better season as far as accidents and incidents. We had some cancellations at a few shows. But I think the net was pretty strong. We had with the gas prices and downturn in the economy, we had a lot of chicken littles out there who were saying that the air show industry was falling apart. And my intelligence from the kind of rank and file ICAS members was that that was not the case, and that people were focusing on individual failures of one sort or another that did not represent a trend in the business. By mid-season, we were seeing that that was exactly the case. The online ticketing company that serves the airshow business reports that ticket sales this year were actually up 15%. And when I heard that, I checked with concessions companies, that is the people who sell novelties and food items at airshows, and they reported almost the same thing. Our explanation for that is that when, and this has historically been the case, when there's a downturn in the economy, people tend to look a little closer to home for their entertainment, and they tend to look at the more economical entertainment options. In both cases, air shows are the answer. Typically, 75% of the people who attend air shows come from within 50 miles, and so they are a very locally based group. Similarly, air shows typically are pretty economical for a family to attend. So we had, despite the bad economy and despite the increased fuel prices, we had a very good year in the air show business this year.
So the hometown air show still presents a hell of a value.
It does. It does. And you know, that's a message that we send in good times and in bad times. But obviously, it sounds a little better for a family that is trying to have fun together, but maybe not in a position to go to the beach or to the mountains for the week.
Amen to that. We had a safer year, all things considered. How do you attribute the difference between 2008 and 2007?
Well, just as when we had this conversation last year, I encouraged people not to overreact to a bad year. I'd hate for people to make the wrong assumptions about what happened when we had a good year. Nobody is under the impression that we've solved the safety problem and we can go about our merry way. A lot of these bad years and good years are statistical anomalies. What we've got is an airshow business that has two or three accidents per year. This particular year we had one, and that obviously for lots of reasons that's great. But we could be back in the 3-4 range just as easily next year as not. The important thing is to focus on the long range, and do we have the systems in place, and do we have an organizational and an industry philosophy that suggests safety is the paramount concern. I think in that regard we made some big progress in the 2008 season, and it is a topic that is on the minds and in the discussions of people who are involved in the air show industry. And if it's top of mind awareness in our business, I think we are going to see a safer industry, not just from in any one year, but trending downward over many years.
How would you sum up 2008 for ICAS as an organization, as the International Council of Air Shows? You're pretty much the leader for that part of the business. All things air shows, that's your bailiwick. But as an organization, as an industry spokesperson and so forth, how would you sum up how 08 was for you as an organization?
It was a year change for us. At the association level, we worked very hard on a new website, www.airshows.aero, A-E-R-O, that we'll release here within the next several days. And that was a year-long project that it's turned out to be everything that we'd hoped it would be. We did some major overhaul to our quarterly magazine. We initiated a program to change the culture of air show safety. Again, we don't think that that has had a significant impact in its first 12 months, but getting that program started and charting its future was a significant undertaking for the organization. We did all the things we normally do. We have our magazine, our convention, periodic email newsletters. We introduced a new email newsletter on air show safety related issues. So at ICAS, we did all that we normally do, and we introduced a number of new programs, including our first new employee, a director of safety, for the first time ever. For us, we're trying to do all that we've always done as well as we've always done it, but sort of branch out as an organization that, in addition to the lobbying, communications, education, business interaction kinds of programs that we run, that we expand that a bit and begin expanding the kinds and the number of benefits that our members receive when they become members of ICAS.
Well, the convention is just but days away. We look forward to it as we do every year because, one, it's obviously a very good time. Two, amazing things happen. Great news stories come out of it. We get great interviews. And let's face it, it's a party town. So that's a win-win-win for all. What do you expect to be the issues of the day for the closing 2008 ICAS event?
Well, probably any business convention of any sort is principally focused on the economic downturn and the implications that might have on their business. Our expectation is that for the 09 season, our members are going to struggle with the corporate sponsorships that might have come a bit more easily in the past. But if trends hold true, we think we're going to see even more people at air shows next year. On the corporate sponsorship front, because the industry is a effective but comparatively low dollar entry point, we think that some of the corporations that need that marketing tool to sell their product or service are going to leave the more expensive options, and that we may actually pick up some of those organizations or sponsors as they seek to find cost-effective alternatives to their current marketing. Fuel prices, which not that long ago we thought were going to be a major issue, at least for now, seem to have gone to back burner status. It's our intention to keep the heat on safety-related issues. When you take your eye off that particular ball, bad things happen. And as an industry, I think we became a bit complacent over the last 3 or 4 years on our ability to conduct safe air shows. And as a result, I think we got dinged on that. And so it's our hope that we will not just think about it until we have a good year, and then think about other things, but maintain that as a strict and primary focus of ICAS, but also of the whole industry.
In the two-part Aero TV interview we just did with their boss, Ralph Royce, he indicated that there was this continual conflict between showmanship and safety, that we can do these amazing things that get more and more amazing all the time, which at times are really pushing the safety envelope. Do you see that as being part of this this culture change that's going to be part of the discussion for ICAS?
I do, but I wouldn't look at it as a conflict. I think that there is I would think of it more as establishing a good balance. And when you use the word conflict, it suggests that somehow good entertainment is at odds with safety, or vice versa. And I don't think that's the case. I think though that there is a place where you're performing maneuvers or conducting your airshow business in such a way that the pilots and the spectators are safe, and that they are also entertained. And I honestly don't think that they are mutually exclusive to one another, but I do think that it takes a lot of thought, a lot of analysis, really, to understand how to get that balance right. And it may seem like a kind of a semantics juggling act to make a distinction between balance and conflict, but I really think there is a big difference there.
We'll be back in a moment with ANN's Jim Campbell and ICAS President John Cudahy. I'm Paul Flagg, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with John Cudahy, president of the International Council of Air Shows.
We've seen some interesting developments this year in terms of the potential attractions for air shows for 2009. Obviously, one close to my heart is the advent of rocket-powered vehicles as part of the air show environment. And the Rocket Racing League, of course, has a pretty good-sized booth going into this year for ICAS. How do you see these kind of otherworldly attractions adding to the mix?
Well, I think it's important. I think another, though it's not as new as the Rocket Racing, I think another development that you can throw in that same basket is the Red Bull Air Races. And when, at least for myself, when I talk about air shows, I'm not so much interested in discussing strictly an air show as defined by the FAA or a Webster's Dictionary, but rather an aviation event that draws large numbers of people and, among other things, promotes aviation, general aviation generally, but aviation as well. And I think you're right that the rocket plane races are an exciting development in the business. And I don't want to say the whole industry is sitting on their edge of the seats seeing how that's going to go, but very nearly so. It's an important development, and if the organizing people involved with that can make it work, it'll be a specifically a big step forward for our business, but generally a good test for what it takes to introduce these kinds of new ideas. And I think it is on those new ideas that a good portion of the industry rests. Years ago, Jimmy Franklin had a creative streak that caused him to strap a jet engine to the bottom of a Waco biplane, and the whole industry set up and took notice. And it is with those. Similarly, Wayne Hanley had a sport aerobatic plane fitted with a turbine engine that allowed him to do some things that nobody had ever seen before in an air show airplane. Really, that's what our business is known for. If you reach back all the way to the barnstorming days, air shows are a bit of a real-world laboratory for aviation and aerodynamics. All sorts of developments and odd ideas have come out of our business. At an entertainment level, those are the kind of innovations that drive new people to air shows to see what's going on. I think we have a number of other developments in the business that you might not classify distinctly as an air show idea, but the F-22 is proven itself to be very nearly like a military jet team in its ability to attract new and different people to air shows. It is such an unusual airplane, and it performs such a unique and exciting maneuver sequence when it performs at air shows that it is literally getting people out of the living room and to the air show who might not normally come. So I think that those kinds of new developments, whether they are specific to the air show or just aviation, new ideas in aviation that attract people to air shows, I think they're going to be an important part of what drives people to air shows in 2009 and beyond.
On the military side of things, how do you see continued cooperation from here on out? We've had our years when it's been a little bit easier for the Pentagon to support air shows, and times when it isn't, especially when they've got commitments overseas, so to speak. How is the relationship right now between the military and the air show community?
Never stronger in most ways. The military, of course, sees air shows as a very valuable recruiting tool. I'll take the Army as an example. The Golden Knights in 2009 will celebrate their 50th anniversary, and they're the military, the U.S. Army's parachute jump team, and they are coming into this air show season hoping to highlight all that they've done for the air show business and all that the air show business has done to help them with their recruiting efforts. The virtual Army experience is a very involved $10 million recruiting tool that the Army is bringing to lots of places, including air shows. And my sources tell me that when they come to air shows, they are more effective than they are at any other venue that they go to. So at that level, recruiting is very important to the military, and air shows are a very valuable recruiting tool. At a more inside air show business level, the military, as recently as 12 or 15 years ago, was sort of a reluctant third party that wasn't really part of the air show community, but a supplier to the air show community. And beginning in about 1996, 1997, that started to change. The military became, in large part because of the advent of the Heritage Flight Program, the military, in particular the Air Force, started to become more a part of the community of professionals in the business and associate more actively in that civilian community. And we've just seen more and more of that every year. The U.S. Navy Blue Angels at our last convention won our organization's highest award, our ICAST Sword of Excellence. The Thunderbirds, the single ship Air Force demos, the Navy demos, all the Canadian military have started to see ICAST not as a place for people involved, civilians involved in the airshow business, but for everybody who's involved in the airshow business. And in that regard, our relationship as an industry with the military has never been stronger.
Outstanding. Good news to hear. Finally, the overall business of an air show. I mean, we had an opportunity to work with a couple of organizers this year. You and I met, for instance, in Ocean City and saw a unique aspect on building the modern American air show. But is the business of air shows from a standpoint of organization and marketing and conduct and overall, is that healthy right now, or is that in seeing any of the changes that are coming in virtually every other aspect of our society?
I would say that the business of air shows is becoming more sophisticated every year. If you were to reach back 20 years, it was a much less sophisticated business. It was a business that did not take advantage of basic business tools. Of course, you'd have exceptions to that, but as a general rule, I would say that the air show businesses were always a step and a half behind their other business counterparts. By necessity, I think we've seen a change in that. The the other events with which an air show must compete have become more sophisticated, and they've driven air show professionals to become more sophisticated. We did a survey recently about ticket sales, and I know because I was involved at the time that 10 years ago, just a few people had websites at all, and now they are far and away the most common way of advanced sales for air show tickets. The World Wide Web, because it is inexpensive and because it is very affordable and accessible to almost anybody, has really had a major impact on our business, more so than on another business that might have the resources to market or to reach out to prospective customers in a way that the airshow business never has. So some of the recent development in business tools have had a disproportionately positive impact on the airshow business, and our guys, to their credit, have really risen to that opportunity and made good use of them. At a corporate sponsorship level, as an example, I think that some of the major attractions, whether it's professional sports, car racing, music festivals, and that sort of thing, have kind of reached their saturation point with the ability to further help an organization broadcast its marketing message. In the airshow business, that's not the case, and we're seeing attention from large marketing agencies and sports marketing companies who are looking for the next big thing. And to some extent, that's been a carrot dangled off of a stick in front of us for a number of years. But I would say that in the last couple of years, we've made more progress on accommodating their requirements to use air shows as a marketing tool. And we'll see, it's my prediction that in the next couple of years, we'll see some major developments. Right now, there are more corporately sponsored airshow performers than in any time in history, and that's despite the fact that there's much more competition for those corporate marketing dollars.
Amen to that. Well, John, I have to tell you, in no uncertain terms, the one thing that we've always been continually amazed at is how effective ICAS has been, both working with its individual constituency as well as the external factors, whether it be FAA, military, and various regulatory agencies. So we have to congratulate you on a job well done previous to now, and looking forward for more of the same in 2009.
Well, the organization is only as strong as its members. We take direction from the board of directors. We draw on the collective expertise and contacts of all our members to do what we do. And it is by far the finest organization I've ever been associated with. We all work hard here at the headquarters, but we are doing the bidding of our board of directors and our members, and that's where the real strength of the organization comes from.
Well, we look forward to seeing the latest and greatest at ICAST 2008 in Vegas in just a few days. John, thanks so much.
We'll see you there.
This year's ICAST convention will be December 6th through the 11th at the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. You can find more about the organization and the show at www.icashq.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. The Aero News special feature and Aero Briefing will have the next couple of days off and return to a normal schedule on Monday after the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Enjoy yours and have a clear and unlimited day.